say you can be seated, but you are seated. So, amen. You can just remain in that position at this present time. Amen and amen. I hope you brought your Bible tonight. I'm going to turn in my Bible, and I'm thinking of a man in the church. He's always encouraging, and sometimes he'll come up to me and say, "Pastor, I like your shoes this morning. I know that guy laughed at your shoes in the store there, but I like your shoes, and I really like those saddle shoes." So that's good. And one time he came up with me, he said, "Pastor, the Lord is with you." He'd been watching me and observing me, and he said, "You know, Pastor, you're a good man, and the Lord is with you." And, you know, I can say tonight, if you are born again, you're a child of the King, you've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ, that Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You may feel at times like you're alone. You may feel at times, because you can't see the Lord and you don't feel his presence, that you're forsaken. But no, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And this verse teaches, if you're born again, that he'll never depart from you. He'll never give up on you. And he'll never leave you. And that's a great message in itself. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but it is a Bible truth. In fact, it goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, "Ye," that's you plural, "are sealed unto the day of redemption." That means that the indwelling Spirit of God has sealed you, so he identifies you as a believer. The Spirit of God in you identifies you as a believer. Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit, and he seals you. That identifies you like a king's seal identifies the king, but it also protects you. You're sealed, which means the devil can't get at you. The devil can't take away the great gift that you have. The devil can't get you and not possess you. He can oppress you, but he can never possess you. And so thank God that you are sealed with God's protection and his identification right up until Jesus comes back to take you home. And I'm not preaching tonight on that precious promise in Ephesians, but I'm preaching tonight on the Lord being with you in a demonstrable sense. The name of my sermon tonight is the Lord with you in a demonstrable way? Is the Lord with you in a demonstrable way? And I have 2 points to this sermon. The first one is the question asked, and the last point is the question answered. Is the Lord with you in a demonstrable way? And I'd like to turn, first of all, to asking the question to 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verses 28 and 29. And I'll read it. It says, "Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him." 2 Samuel 18. Now, Saul saw David and knew that the Lord was with him in a demonstrable way. And he should have been happy because David was the general in his army. But Saul had disobeyed God, and God had removed his blessing of his presence and power in Saul's life, and even told him to leave his position as king. But Saul wouldn't leave. And so when he saw that God was with David, he did not like it. And he didn't like it that the Lord was helping David to win battles. And sadly, because the Lord was with David in a demonstrable way, Saul really wanted to trip David up. And he said, "You know how I'll trip him up? He wants to get married to my daughter." And he had a real good daughter who had a good character. You know, she was the kind of girl that cooked and cleaned the house and took care of things and was a keeper at home, a real good woman. And yet he wouldn't give her to David. He didn't want her. He gave her to some other guy. And he promised, you remember, when he killed Goliath, he would do that. So he didn't keep his promise. But he said, I'll give her the spoiled brat. I'll give her the youngest daughter. We've spoiled her. And she kind of is like her daddy. And she'll trip David up. And so, he did say to David, but to get her, you have to kill 100 Philistines, the enemy soldier. And you know how the Indians got scalps? You have to scalp their foreskins. And that's what they did back then. And so David didn't just kill 100 Philistines. He was so excited, he killed 200 Philistines. Great warrior that he was, and the Lord was with him. Now Saul was hoping to kill him by this, or if he couldn't kill him, he was hoping to trip him up by his daughter, but neither one worked because God preserved David, and God let him give Saul what he asked for, and Saul had to give him his daughter, hoping that she'd trip him up, but she loved him, and instead of tripping him up, when Saul sent soldiers to arrest David, David escaped with her help. She helped David escape. And so Saul failed on both accounts. Can I say, if the Lord is with a person in a demonstrable way that the devil sees it, and the devil's crowd wants to stop that person? And I'm thinking now of some witches that got together and they cursed Charlie Kirk. And he and his wife found out about it, and Erica was very upset about that. And just the night before he was killed, they put out a tweet about it, these evil women had done that. I believe Hillary's a witch. She's a Jezebel type and gets involved in that kind of thing as well. And then the next day, Charlie was assassinated. And the devil knows when God is with somebody. Definitely God was with Charlie Kirk as a young man, and he was confronting people with the Bible and biblical truth and the culture, and the devil wanted to silence his voice. But let me just say something to you. God may have let Charlie Kirk be martyred, but you haven't heard the end of what God's going to do. You see, God let Stephen be martyred, and the devil wanted to get Stephen. He was the first martyr, and I've talked about this, and Stephen was killed. But the Bible says when he was martyred, what actually happened was that the other deacon, Stephen was a deacon, remember? And he was a soul winner. He was witnessing. He was winning people to Christ. Boy, I'm a pastor, but I want to be a soul winner. I want to win people to Christ. I want to be out there in the midst of it. I just don't want to hold a position. I want to have a function and be out there. And Stephen was doing that. And Philip wasn't doing it. He was a deacon, but he had the office of a deacon, but he really wasn't an on-fire soul. But when Stephen got martyred, Philip started witnessing. And he preached the word of God out there. And he went up to the city of Samaria, and he led that whole city to the Lord. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we just hit this whole city and saw this whole city get turned upside down? That's what I'd like to see. That's my vision. And I like to see it, and Charlie Kirk getting killed, that should stir us up to do something. And not only did Philip do something, but the Bible says that Saul was behind it, and Saul of Tarsus launched a big persecution against the church at Jerusalem where Stephen was a deacon. And you know, it was so bad that the church was scattered. And they left Jerusalem. And you know what? That's exactly what God wanted. because they'd gotten so big. That church was many, many thousands of people, and they had like heaven on earth in Jerusalem. They thought it was so great. They were just enjoying being around. But when they got scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word. They were giving the gospel. All the people in the church were winning souls. And a big church started in Antioch because of that. And then later on, you know the story, Saul himself got saved. All coming out of Stephen. Listen, when God allows somebody to get killed, when God allows the devil to get one up on us, he's got a plan. And I believe he wants to stir our church up so that if Charlie Kirk was going around college campuses and hitting all these college campuses, you and I can hit Tunkhannock. We can hit Moscow. We can hit Wilkes-Barre and get a bus down there. We can hit Carbondale, my friend. We can hit this area. We can fill this house. And God wants this house filled once and twice on a Sunday morning. I'm convinced. God wants it filled on a Sunday night. I believe it. And I'm saying that I believe that if God is, listen to me, if God is with you in a demonstrable way, you will be winning souls to Christ, and you will be bringing people to church, and you will get them down the aisle, and they will get baptized, and it will be a blessing of God. It'll be a work, but that's what God wants. And David, God had David with him. David just didn't sit on his blessed assurance. No, David just didn't sit around and eat at Saul's table. No, David was out there, and the Bible says tonight, God wants you out there. He wants you marching on the gates of hell with the gospel gun. People talk about guns, and I want to have guns. I want to see you shoot the gospel gun. Let me see you do that. Let me see you do that, God says. And that's what David was doing. And they killed Charlie Kirk, but you haven't heard the end of it. And I believe we're not going to let it be in vain here. I don't want to let it be in vain here. Amen and amen. And we're going to pray for the power of God upon us. And you know what? Witches have cursed and put spells on Donald John Trump. They put spells on him. And the reason they did it, I mean, out of Donald John Trump come this spiritual movement with Turning Point USA and those kind of things. You see, there's a lot with that. God's anointed Donald John Trump to bless Christians. He's a Jehu figure to bless Christians and to give us opportunity to speak boldly our faith and have freedom and the blessing of God. And so tonight, I believe that witches have tried to kill him, and they tried to assassinate him for sure in Butler, Pennsylvania. They tried to kill him in Butler, Pennsylvania. Remember, the bullet hit his ear. What was it, right ear? And he put blood on that ear and on his right thumb. And then blood, he took his shoes. His shoes had to come off. And he got blood on his right toe. And that showed that God anointed him for service, because that's how the priest was anointed. And God had an anointing on Trump. And then after that, he won the Republican nomination. They wanted the Republican, these witches, these devils, they wanted the Republican nomination to be mourning and sad and defeated, and their hero was dead. And it was right before that in Butler, but no, God spared him. And then that guy tried to kill him with that gun while he came up to the golf green and just shoot him, and they caught the guy, and they got him. And one guy spotted that little barrel of that gun coming out there and stopped him. And the witches said, we've tried to kill Trump. We've cursed him, but there's a shield on him. There's protection on him. And you know what it is? The prayers of God's people. So many people praying for him. And you know what? If you're going to have a soul-winning church, if you're going to have a church that makes a difference with the power of God, you're going to have to pray for protection, because the devil is going to attack, and we need to understand that. And so we're talking about the Lord. Is the Lord with you in a demonstrable way? And I'm asking that question tonight to you. Is the Lord with you? And the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know why a lot of people don't really have to resist direct attacks of Satan, like we're talking about tonight, and people that were attacked like David and these other folks, Stephen, and these other martyrs and so forth? You know why? Because they're not really yielding themselves to God. If you yield yourself to God, Jack Hiles, 7 times a day, would say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Fill me, use me, help me to do and say and think what Jesus would, were he in my shoes today. I remember Tom Williams said, when we asked him, why are you different, Tom, than other evangelists? Why are you different than other preachers? He'd say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I stay busy because there's not many that are filled with the Holy Ghost like I am. Not many yielded to the Holy Ghost like I am and have the power of God to do God's work like I am. And he did stand out. He really did. And we took note of him, that he'd been with Jesus. And we took note when he came to preach, and we saw something different. Eventually, he was fired by the school. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he got blowback from his preaching, and the professors weren't walking with God like they should have been, and they didn't like it, and they fired him. My friends, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to make a difference. Some people will like it, and some people will hate it. Jack Hiles said, we got a duck or pucker church. Well, we say we're from this church, this Baptist church. Either we have to have somebody pucker up to kiss us, or duck because they're ready to swing at us. You know, that was called Hiles derangement syndrome. You've heard of Trump derangement syndrome. I've even heard of Randy Bloom derangement syndrome. I'm just saying that when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to get a reaction. You know, the Bible says, woe to you if all men speak well of you. You're not giving the devil any trouble. You need to have people that you're cut to the heart. Either they gnashed on Stephen with their teeth to kill him, or they mourned for him. They loved him. Same thing with Charlie Kirk. It's not left against right. It's good versus evil. It's Satan versus God. And where are you going to be tonight? Are you going to be somebody that the Lord is with you in a demonstrable way? Well, you need to submit yourself and yield yourself every day to God. And then it says resist the devil. Why? Because the devil will come after you. Why? Because most believers, or many believers, like the Corinthian church, they're all hung up on their own selfish desires. You pray according to your lust. You pray thinking God's a genie. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. I'm just here to take. No. We're here to give. We're here to give. Give the gospel. We're here to give ourselves and the love of Christ and let him flow through you. And so are you one of those that God is with you in a demonstrable way? And I like it when people say, Pastor, the Lord is with you in a demonstrable way. And Saul, the Bible says, at one time, he had the Lord with him. Saul, if he was saved, and he very well could have been, he didn't lose his salvation. He lost the anointing of God to be king. And to be king didn't mean you just sit on a throne. You know, to be king meant you fought Philistines. You won battles. You had the power of God. And the Israeli army, the leaders don't sit back and send the soldiers. No, they lead from the front. They go out there. And that's the way I want to be. I don't want to be anything less than that. I was eating with Brother Joe today, and I very, very seldom get time to eat with Brother Joe. I very seldom get time to see Brother Joe. I'd love to spend time with Brother Joe. And he's great. You know, we've been great friends for many years, but I had the opportunity given to me today on the anniversary of his son going to heaven. And I told him I'm busier than I've ever been. I'm working harder than I've ever worked. My time has very little leisure to it. But you know what? I'm glad, because I'm not here to reign yet. We're suffering with Christ now. We'll reign when he returns. Amen? Now is the time to finish the mission. And I wish more Christians would get a hold of that. You're not here now to reign with Christ. You're here to suffer with him. You're here to serve him. And if we'd get a hold of that, we would be the more blessed. But I am preaching to the choir tonight. Amen. So we'll say that. But Saul had that, and he went home after he was anointed with the power of God. And the Bible says, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. You know, when God touched Saul, he had men that were willing to go with him. He had men that were willing to work with him. And I believe that wherever a man of God is leading to do something, God will give him men that will get around him and help him and work with him. And we will have that one accord. We'll have that unity because we're doing something outside of ourselves, something that's bigger than ourselves. And God gives it. And then there'll be ladies that work around those men. And all of that will work together for a dream team of God's people. But we're asking the question tonight, how about you as a lady? How about you as a teenager? How about you as a man? Is the Lord with you in a demonstrable way so that you have others that go with you to get trained to do what you're doing and so forth? And you know, Aaron and Hur, they helped Moses. When Moses had his hands up, he was praying for Joshua and the army. And the Bible says that a man of God needs to spend time in prayer for the power of God. Not just soul winning, but praying to God for the power. And Moses had his hands up. Whenever his hands were up, Joshua was winning the battle. But when Moses let his hands down, signifying prayerlessness, then Joshua was being defeated. You see, this battle is a spiritual battle we're in. What's going on in America behind these evil people on the left are evil spirits. They are evil people, God spirits, and they are manifesting in order to bring to pass this transsexual garbage, and it's all demonic. It's satanic, and we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places, and so we need to have prayer. I encourage you to pray every day. Martin Luther said he was so busy he had to spend the first 2 hours in prayer. I encourage you to pray. I encourage our revival seekers to pray for revival. I encourage you on Wednesday night to come and help hold up the preacher's hands in prayer. And that's what they did with Moses. And thank God for those that are doing that. Thank God for those that come out on Thursday night to hold up our hands in soul winning and to march with us on the gates of hell. Thank God for that and people that are helping us to do that, even on Saturday, that go out and we're still available for that. We encourage you to get involved in that because the Lord will be with you in a demonstrable way. I'm excited about it. I always try to get a new trainee to recruit. And I tried to get one this semester, and he said, I can't do it this semester because of his schedule. So I have another guy in mind. I'm going to recruit him. Pray for me on that. If that doesn't work, I got another guy in mind. I'm going to recruit him. But I'm just saying that is the Lord with you in a demonstrable way. And here's what the Bible says. When nobody stood with Paul, it says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. You see, though everybody else can fail you, the Lord will never fail you. He'll stand with you. And I remember going out to see Dr. Jack Hiles in the 1980s. And I saw the great First Baptist Church out there in the greater Chicagoland area. And I saw how the Lord was with this man of God and how God had touched the hearts of many men and women that were involved in that great work. And Hispanic people and people from all backgrounds were being saved and baptized. And that whole church was organized around the Great Commission. What a blessing that was. And I remember I came back to Scranton in the mid-1980s. And I was anointed with fresh oil of God. And the Lord was with me. And we had a great wave of people as I went out and gave the gospel, getting saved and getting baptized. And they got trained all the way from 1986 to 1996. We got so blessed, we got kicked out of a Baptist church that we were renting because we were baptizing. And they didn't like it. But then God gave us this church. Amen and amen. And we had a great wave of revival from 1986 to 1996. And then we had the devil hit us. And then after we got hit by the devil, I remember we had a soul winning clinic and decided to go to Longview Baptist Church. Two different times I went down there, and I went out with Dr. Bob Gray's soul-winning people and were there for his great soul-winning clinic and took our people out there, and we came back here, listen, filled with the Holy Spirit. And from 2000 to 2012, we started seeing people getting saved and baptized and growing, and then the devil hit us and knocked us back. But I'm just saying, I believe from 2023, the second part of it till now, God is filling us and moving us to go forward. But is the Lord with you in a demonstrable way? And what are you going to do to be part of all of that? And, you know, Saul came to the point where he stopped doing a job for God. And remember in Nehemiah's day, there were men who were the nobles of Tekoa. They had a position. They were big men in God's house with God's people. But when it came to do the work of the Lord, they weren't doing the work of the Lord. They had a position. They were nobles. They were leaders, but they weren't doing the work of the Lord. I remember after we had that great growth, the second wave of growth from that we had, the first great wave of growth, 1986 to 1996, I remember leaders in the church that were the nobles. They were the deacons. They were the leaders, but they were not building the church. And I remember preaching about that, and it was like my wife said, when I started preaching, it was like tom-toms. And people were against me. They didn't like that kind of preaching, you know. And I remember I had a guy, he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, when you send people out soul winning, and you know how we had people come back and report on a Thursday night or whatever night we went out and tell what they did. He said, this one deacon, he just goes out and he goes and gets coffee and donuts, and then he comes back and talks like he did some. He doesn't do anything. And I'm like, really? Well, he did do something. He led a bunch of people out of the church and went on and got a position in a college and all of that. But I'll tell you what, it's not a position that we should seek. It's the function of God being with you. And I want to ask you a question. Is the Lord with you in a demonstrable way? Not just go through the motions, but is God moving in your life? Is God moving through your life? And there'll be days when you'll be challenged and you'll hit it and so forth, and you have to leave the results to God. I know that, but I'm saying, is God with you in a demonstrable way? And when God departed from Saul, he didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his power and his blessing of Almighty God. I think about Elisha when they were building a school for the prophets. And one of the sons of the prophets was swinging the axe. And remember, the axe head fell off. And he couldn't just keep swinging the axe handle because it wouldn't cut anything down. I believe there are some Christian workers, they're still swinging the handle, but they're not, they don't have the Lord's power. They don't have the Lord's presence. You don't have the Lord's blessing. And what did that guy have to do? He had to go find where the axe head fell off. And when he did, God did a miracle and retrieved the axe head. so that he could go and work with effectiveness again, with God being with him. I wonder tonight if the axe head has been dull in your life, if it's fallen off, and God is saying, hey, you need to go back and get it where you lost it and get that thing back. And is it a besetting sin? Is it prayerlessness? Is it lack of yieldedness to the Lord? Whatever it is, dear friend, you need to get that axe head back so that the Lord would be with you in a wonderful and in a demonstrable way. And I believe that we need that tonight. And that's the question that I'm asking. And then secondly, the answer is given. And I'd like you to turn to Matthew 28 with me for the answer being given. I'm going to read that tonight in closing. Matthew 28, our Lord gave this for how the Lord, listen to me, how the Lord can be with you in a demonstrable way. Look at Matthew 28, and we'll start at verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That is, Jesus has all the power in heaven, but he also has it on earth. And that's because he wants you to know wherever you go on earth, he has the power to bless you. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go means that you have to go with the intention of doing the Great Commission. You have to go in order to get people saved. You have to go outside the church to go after people. That's why he says go. And the Lord said, I'm out there. Wherever you go, I'm before you. Everywhere on earth, I'm before you. Go ye therefore. Teach what? All nations. All nations. And then he's talking about giving them the gospel. He's talking about calling them to receive Christ. That's what's included in that teach all nations and getting people saved. Then he says, when you get them saved, do what? Baptize them. You know, somebody said, win them and then wet them. Right? Win them and wet them. Make them and then mark them. Win them and wet them, make them and mark them. Baptizing them. That's right. You lead them to the Lord, but you need to lead them to be marked, to be baptized. And they're not willing to be baptized. That is a problem. And so he says, baptizing them. And you say, when do you baptize them? Soon as you can, soon as you win them. And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. Then it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, what's that talking about? Don't just win people to Christ by giving them the gospel. Don't just bring them to church and get them baptized, but do that. But then you recruit them to go with you. And that's what he means, teaching them to observe, not whatsoever I've written in my Bible, that's Christian education. This is, no, teach them to go. Teach them to win people to Christ by giving them the gospel. Teach them to get people baptized. Are you doing those four things? Going, giving people the gospel, winning them, getting people baptized? When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you trained somebody to do that? Now listen, a lot of Christians aren't doing that. But that's what the Lord said we're all to be doing. Me, the youth pastor, the deacons, their wives, my wife, every one of us. And it says here, notice this, verse 20, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, you know what that means, low. If you fly, Joe, he's not with you. You got to be low. No, I'm just kidding. You got to do those four things. Go with the intention to get people saved. Give them the gospel and invite them to Christ. Invite them to receive Christ. When they receive Christ, get them baptized. Lead them, get them to church. Pick them up, get them on a bus, pick them up, get them to church. Go down the aisle with them, get them baptized. And then recruit them. I got a guy led to the Lord. I'm looking to recruit him this semester. I've been going after him, following him up. I want God with me in a demonstrable way. And this is the answer of how you can have that. Are you doing those four things? Going, getting people saved, getting them baptized, and then taking them with you to train them how to do it. How to do it. Jesus said, follow me. If you follow me, I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Those are professional fisher people, people that catch fish for a living. I believe in churches, we're not doing it like we should. And I believe God is challenging us in this new semester, challenging you to have the Lord with you. We've asked the question. Here's the answer. How about it? How about it in your life? Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. And we've been asking that question and answering that question. I want to just